armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
You have any idea?
Really, this is
you
what
have
you're
any
doing?
Idea?
This is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. Listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. Things is a-wheeling and a-dealing in Braves Country, sending folks up, sending folks down, IL again. Here we go.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. He's the all-American man.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? Hope you are doing grand as we are getting set for another big series against the Arizona Diamondbacks, who aren't too shabby. We saw that up close and personal. Remember, if it wasn't for the big home run in the ninth inning by Eddie Rosario, we would have lost that series against Arizona a little while back. So this is we took 2 of 3, and now we hope to do that again. I do like our chances a lot tonight. We'll get into that in a minute. We'll get into the fact that the Braves are sending yet another arm to the 60-day IL and bringing another kid up. We'll get into that, what all that means, and that's what's crack-a-lacking in the world of sports. The other thing, of course, is the trade deadline, and folks are talking about the best. So I came across a pretty interesting article where folks are talking about the best players available at each position. Now, a couple of them is skim over because it doesn't matter because we're loaded. For instance, Elias Diaz of the Rockies, MVP of the All-Star game, hit the big home run. We get that. Braves aren't making a trade for him. No way, no how, get out. There's no way on God's green earth that we're going to do that. But what we may do is make trades for other players. You scroll past him, you go to first base. We talked about him yesterday, CJ Krohn, first baseman of the Rockies. Not that we need a first baseman, but he can play corner infield, and he can play corner outfield position. Much more of a designated hitter type threat or left field threat, along with giving Olsen a day off. I love the idea of Brendan Donovan. Brendan Donovan, the thing is, I don't think he's necessarily on the trade block, but the Cardinals, 26-year-old kid, if they could get something good in return, they may make a trade. Brendan Donovan can play all over the field. Brendan Donovan can play any position in the middle infield, and he can also play in the outfield. He's got speed. He's got a good bat. Thing about the Braves are probably not going to make a move for him, because if you make a move for him, you're making a move for him long term. And unless you can find a way to move someone from another position, where's he going to play every day? I seriously doubt they're going to make any kind of move that would disrupt any part of their all-star infield. Because I know some folks are down on Arcia right now, but Arcia's played very well. And Arcia, okay, put the All-Star thing aside. We're not going to jump up and down because someone's in the All-Star game. We know what that's about sometimes. thing is, he's very affordable over the next several years. Very affordable. So if you brought in Donovan, you're talking about trying to move. Basically, you'd be trying to move someone like an Eddie Rosario or whatnot that has 2 years left. So probably not much of a chance there. Paul DeJong, he is a Cardinal middle infielder, can play shortstop, can play second base, turns 30, and the deal on him is right now he has a little more than $3 million left for this season, and he has a club options through 24 and 25. Really great depth piece. I don't know how happy he would be sitting on the bench, so you do have to take those things into factor. Third baseman, this one's interesting. The problem is he plays in our division. But Jaimer Candelario, we've seen him up close and personal. I think he's pretty darn good. I've been impressed by him. 29-year-old, and he's having his best overall around year. He could be a good trade chip, but once again, you're looking at, would they make a move for a guy that could go in and start elsewhere? Would he be happy playing as a backup role? I'm looking for backup infielders. Randall Grichuk, another interesting prospect, former teammate of Kevin Pillar. He's a right fielder for the Rockies. Solid player at this point in his career. He'd be a little more likely. Cody Bellinger, a left-handed bat that you could put in the outfield. He's also played first base. He would be an interesting piece because you're talking about being able to piece him together in any kind of situation, designated hitter role, anything like that. And he has a $25 million mutual option for next year, but it would have to be a mutual option. No one's picking up that $25 million deal. So he's realistically looking at free agency. Tommy Pham of the Mets, I've never been a fan of his. I think he's overrated as hell. And he's a bit of a liar. The whole thing with the Jock Peterson thing, every time he tells that story, he gets more and more bravado built on that deal and tries to make Peterson look worse and worse. And when it's all said and done, Pham was the jerk. Pham was the jackleg. It wasn't Peterson. Anyone who's played fantasy football, fantasy baseball, whatever, fantasy sports, gambled, they know exactly what it was. It was sour grapes by Pham. So I'm not a big fuss. I don't think he's that good. He doesn't step up big time. I think he's going to get dealt by the Mets, but the Braves and Mets aren't making a trade anyways. Shohei Ohtani, obviously Shohei Ohtani, pitcher, DH, you name it. We're not getting Shohei Ohtani. They're going to ask for the Moon and Stars to get Shohei Ohtani. Now, if you can get him at a reasonable deal to just run out the rest of the year, I'm fine with it. But we're never going to be able to extend him. So if you could make a deal where they would fall in love with one of our prospects and you could put Shohei Ohtani on the team for a two-month run, I love that idea. But the price tag is going to be enormous. I believe for them to be – now, the one thing that would play into our hands is that I believe they would be more likely to deal him to a team they think he'll never sign with, which would be Atlanta. Nothing against the Braves. The Braves just don't have – Braves don't pay players $750 million, right? If they let Freddie Freeman walk and they let Dansby Swanson walk, they're not going to be able to pony up. So I wouldn't hate the idea as long as it was a deal where we're not giving up a bunch of players in our farm system. And I just doubt that's going to be the case. Blake Snell, the Padres, that's an interesting one. I've never been a big fan of Blake Snell ever since he pulled his nonsense during the 2020 season. But Blake Snell is very good, and he is starting to pitch much better. We talked about this guy yesterday, Scott Barlow, the Royals, let's go. I'm a big fan of his. I would love to see the Braves bring him in. Barlow is 1 year away from free agency, and the Royals have already dealt Aroldis Chapman. They're obviously in sell mode. I mean, look, I mean, the Royals aren't making the playoffs. So I would love to get Barlow in to add him to our bullpen, because at this point, even when Nick Anderson comes back, he's not your eighth inning guy on a World Series team. So of all the players that I could pick out of this, obviously putting Shohei Ohtani aside, Shohei Ohtani's like the old Shohei Ohtani's like the old was it Sesame Street or was it the Electric Company, where one of these kids is doing his own thing and everyone else is grayed out and there's one kid who's doing something different. Shohei Ohtani's a difference maker. Shohei Ohtani can put a team as good as the Atlanta Braves are over the top. But the problem is, at what cost? So if you set that aside, the two players that I would like to have the most would be, if you could find a way to put Donovan in there, that'd be great. But let's be honest, let's be real. Scott Barlow, and then, of course, Blake Snell. So there you have that. All right, let's take a really quick break. When we come back, we've got the lineups for the Braves. We got the moves. They've sent another one of the 60-day IL, if I can get it out. And bringing another kid up. And how about that? Here we go again. And it means there's another move coming. We'll explain when we come back. Keep it locked in here on Braves Country HD.
Well, the season's finally here, and the players hit
the armchair quarterbacks are back. Saturday, September 9th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., you'll be tailgating with the armchair quarterbacks. Mac McGee, Brian Snow, Joey Antones, and the rest of the armchair quarterbacks live, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturdays this fall. Talking college football, SEC, ACC, Big Ten, the NFL, fantasy football advice, and our picks against the spread. It all begins September 9th right here on Braves Country HD and 99.1 FM WQEE.
Yeah, the armchair quarterback, the all-American man.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning, right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey, and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
I'm bad at sex. There's a lot of thrashing and thumping, but nothing really gets done. I'm like a broken dishwasher.
Armchair Quarterback Radio. We cover the world of baseball from start to finish.
Baerga is 0-for-3. Left center field. Grissom on the run. The team of the 90s has its world championship. Yes. A liner off Nagy's glove into center field. The Florida Marlins have won the World Series.
Brocious fittingly with a throw, and the Yankees have done it again. Number 24. They are the world champions of baseball in 1998. Chance of a lifetime for Luis Gonzalez. 2-2, bottom of the ninth, game seven of the World Series. Bases loaded.
Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Armchair.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning, right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey, and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Take the scenic route in the new Hyundai Santa Fe, the family SUV with available H-Track all-wheel drive to help you travel way off the beaten path. Find new adventures together in the Hyundai Santa Fe.
I think you should retire.
Come on, Frank!
I'm sorry, but Marie is my wife, and if I can't support her in this, then she'll be like an ice pick in my ear until I die.
I'm back. Your Atlanta Braves. First of all, go ahead and get the schedule out here. And, I mean, excuse me, I said schedule. I meant the lineup. As we are about to start a three-game set. And, folks, listen on WQEE 99.1 FM in the metro Atlanta area. Scrolling the appears that we've got Chattahoots baseball tomorrow night, so there's no game tonight. But also want to say hello to all the ones listening to from the CBS affiliates that Jason has set up with us today. So and they'll be carrying the Braves Country baseball broadcast this evening. A couple other things to talk about real quick before we get into the Braves news. A couple of things about the show. A, the Saturday morning kickoff show, we're now calling it the tailgate because it's going to extend through. That's going to start on September 9th, just in case you've missed it. We are doing a show the week before, but that's not going to be on radio. It's only going to be on YouTube because it's our fantasy football draft. And unless you can see what we're doing, you'll be bored out of your mind listening to it because there's a lot of... Anyways, if you can't see the screen, you won't know what the hell we're talking about. So the kickoff show itself will start on September 9th, and I do believe that we're going to get it on WQEE pretty often, and the CBS affiliates that are listening now and a few others will be picking it up as well. The other thing is we're going to start, this will be, I'll announce the day here pretty soon. I haven't figured out the actual date, but I worked some stuff out at work. Long story short, we're going to start a morning show like we had tried to do a couple of months ago, and then things fell apart at work. I couldn't get it organized. But anyways, long story short, Mondays, it's going to be a Monday morning recap type of show. It's going to be a... Monday morning armchair quarterback show. We're going to be talking about the world of the NFL. We're still doing the Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 Braves Country. But this allows us to dive a little deeper into the world of football because in that time of year, it's so hard to cover it all in 2 hours. It's just impossible. You've got baseball kicking. You've got it going down to the wire, all the stuff that's going to be going on there. And then you've got the NFL college football. So we're trying to do a Monday morning show. We're also going to do a Thursday morning show. The times, I haven't quite figured that out yet, but we will get that to you in the near future. There's other things that we're going to be doing on a couple of different platforms, but we'll update you that as it goes along. All right, let's get into what's going down in Braves Country.
You're in Braves Country.
Country. So the big news of the day, it shocks absolutely no one, but the big news of the day is that Colby Allard was sent to the IL. And like I said, it really shocked absolutely no one. What shocked me a little bit was the 60-day IL. Because when they pulled him out, first of all, he was getting bombed. We know why he was actually lifted. But he was getting bombed. They pull him, and he was looking at his hand the entire time. In fact, a couple of folks were guessing that they thought he may have a blister, that kind of thing. Instead, they sent him to the IL with shoulder inflammation, which has been come. I mean, I almost want to get an Atlanta Braves jersey with shoulder inflammation on the back and put like the number 23. People think that's for Jordan. It's like, no, it's for 2023. Everybody has shoulder inflammation on this team. I mean, we haven't gotten a straight answer about some of the relievers that are sitting on the IL. But something's happening in the near future because they sent down Allard, and in the corresponding move, just in case you missed it, the Atlanta Braves are bringing up Forrest Wall. Now, I'm excited to see Forrest Wall play. Forrest Wall, if you're not familiar with him, he has been a very popular prospect. Mainly, the main thing that Forrest Wall brings to the table, if you haven't seen him play, I've seen him a little bit down in the minors, and of course, when we do the spring training, he's got big-time speed. And I mean big-time speed. So he's a guy that you can put in for pinch-running duties, and that, to me, is going to be a lot of fun watching him if he ever gets in. Because we see some of these guys, they get in, and the next thing you know, they're only up for a couple of days. They get sent back down. We might see him again in September. So who knows what the overall plan is. They obviously play that close to the vest. But the Atlanta Braves are going to have some kind of corresponding move, because they sent a pitcher down and they're bringing up a hitter. So we'll see how that plays out. It could come sooner than later. But what we're looking at right now is, okay, it's a little odd to me. Normally, when they send a pitcher down, they bring a pitcher down or bring a pitcher up. So now we did have an extra day off, so they do have a day or so to play with this. And there may be a grand scheme of this or why they're doing this. But you got Colby Allard going to the 60-day IL with what looked like something in his hand. I mean, he was looking at his hand the whole time. The whole time. What it does is it allows you to have him back up in September. And in September, now granted, he wouldn't necessarily be ready to roll for the playoffs. That's probably no longer in the cards for Allard, but he could give you some valuable innings in mid to late September if the Braves have everything sewn up like we hope they do, and everything is sewn up, then we are in very good position to go ahead and put him in. Well, so today he was backdated for yesterday, the 17th. So if he comes up September 17th in that neighborhood, you could have him do two or three starts. The other thing is, what do we do going forward? Because Eddie Rosario still is not in the lineup. Sam Hilliard's in the lineup. We'll do all the numbers and whatnot just before first pitch. But the lineup looks exactly the same, except Sean Murphy is behind the plate tonight. The biggest difference is Michael Harris is not batting ninth. He's batting seventh. And Sam Hilliard is taking his spot in the number nine spot. And that's pretty much what we saw. In fact, the only difference between that and Sunday was that Travis d'Arnaud was in the lineup. So with that being said, we've got an interesting, how is this going to play out? Now tonight, we'll get into the rest of the series in a second, but tonight we've got Bryce Elder going to the bump. Elder has had well over a week off since his last outing, which was Sunday, just before the All-Star break, where he went up against a Tampa Bay team that was due. He did not pitch particularly well. The rest is history. And we end up with a bad outing from Elder, but I didn't look at it as a big deal. Saw a couple of people overreact, but that's what some folks do, especially on social media. They just flip out for no reason. I mean, they absolutely flip out for no reason. Sometimes I think they do it just to get attention. Okay, fair enough. But if you want to act like the sky is falling because Bryce Elder's had one bad outing, be my guest. Colby Allard, to me, is a guy that... I said Colby again, excuse me. Bryce Elder, to me, is a guy that I could very well see starting in the postseason for us as high up as the number two slot at this point. Now, Max Free comes back, throw that away. To me, at this point, unless you're just going to go off of seniority, which I don't think that's the best way to do sports, give me Bryce Elder in game three. Because if right now, if everybody is healthy, I want Max Fried on the bump in game one. This is assuming everyone's healthy and playing well. I want Strider in game two, I think. Get back to me on that one. Because there are times where Strider, it's like Strider tries to strike everybody out on one pitch. And I don't know how that's going to play. Right now, Strider is essentially a two-pitch pitcher. How is that going to play in the playoffs? But regardless, I think he's earned the right to be able to be our number two guy. And I think he will be our number two guy. You'll be a little nervous if we lose game one in the first playoff series we play in. But Max Fried should get you a game one win, and Strider should give you at least an opportunity to win. To me, it's Bryce Elder after that. Kyle Wright hasn't pitched all year, essentially. When he was pitching, he wasn't that great. He was okay. Yeah, he was really good last year. That's a long time gone now. And I got to look at what's going on this year. And unless Elder just starts running out of gas and spitting the bit, he's our number three starter. So that's who's going to the bump tonight. And he's going to be going up against Zach Davies. And if you're not familiar with Zach Davies, Zach Davies is a soft tossing right-hander. He's a journeyman. He's coming in with a 1-5 record with a 6.37 ERA. Zach Davies is not a guy that is going to blow you away. When Zach Davies has really good outings, it's usually because whoever he's facing is just not playing particularly well. The Braves should put some runs on the board tonight. You got a soft tossing right-hander. The Braves hit right-handers well. And we've had a day off. I'm hoping everybody had a chance to decompress. Some of these guys that went to the All-Star game that didn't get the time off, they've had a day off now. Recharge their batteries, and it's time to get ready for the real second half of the stretch. Because we go into tonight's action. This is the 93rd game of the season. So we've played 92. That means we're literally 70 games out from October. And that's going to jump on us quicker than what a lot of us realize. 70 games sounds like a long way. And then all of a sudden you're like, dude, we got to get it together. So I expect the Braves to go out there and really bang it out tonight. The Arizona lineup is out as well. I'll say three bats that I'm most concerned with. It's right in the heart of their order, which is no surprise. Corbin Carroll has continued to play really good baseball. We saw him the first time out, and he is phenomenal. I think he's going to be Rookie of the Year in the National League. Christian Walker, you've always got to be worried about him. He's batting cleanup. And then Gurriel, batting fifth. These guys have combined for, 51 home runs. That is the heart of their order. Now, Ketel Marte, you got to put him up there too. He wasn't playing very well the first time we saw them, but he's gotten it back together. If you add Marte to the mix, who's the number two hitter tonight, you're talking about almost 70 home runs between those four. So you really got to be, you got to buckle down in the 2, 3, 4, 5 area of their lineup. Outside of that, and this is one of the reasons why Arizona is starting to scuffle a little bit. You look at the rest of their lineup, and some of its injuries, and some of the fact is they're still building. But you get past your Gurriel, and you get to the number 6 hitter, Canzone, the DH. He's had 6 at-bats this year. Hasn't had a base hit. Rivera, the third baseman, has had 170 at-bats, 1 home run. Kelly, the catcher behind the plate tonight, 48 at-bats, 1 home run. See where I'm going with this? Thomas, center fielder. Now, he can scoot, but he only has 5 stolen bases, so even if he gets on, he's not that big of a threat. But 5 home runs and 178 at-bats. So 6 through 9, really light-hitting lineup. Perdomo, their shortstop, he hits for a pretty decent average, doesn't have a lot of pop, has 5 home runs on the year, but he's a guy that's trying to get on to cause havoc. So if the Braves, the key to this game and the series is going to be keep the top half of the lineup as quiet as possible. And that's not what everyone goes through, because if there's an Arizona Diamondback podcast out there right now, and I'm sure there is somewhere, or Arizona Diamondback radio right now, what are they talking about going into this series? If I'm an Arizona guy, I'm like, good Lord, there's no holes in this lineup. Maybe we can get Sam Hilliard out. What the hell are we going to do? So the Braves offense should go out there and bang tonight. You got Bryce Elder, who even when he falls behind in the lineup, in the count, excuse me, doesn't matter where he is in the lineup, he falls behind, he's okay because his strongest pitch is that sinker. And sometimes him getting behind 2-0, 2-1, 3-1, sometimes it's an advantage. Because the batter up at the plate is sitting dead red. He sees a pitch that he thinks is the fastball. He swings over, bangs it in the ground for a double play, etc. So that is by far his best pitch. I love that pitch with Elder, and I love the fact that the pitch will sink in on right-handers and drift away on left-handers. In any way you look at it, he normally gets soft contact, which is always a good sign. So tonight's game, I definitely give the upper hand to the Braves. You got to win this game. I'm not worried about where we're at in the standings. We're 10 games in front of second place Marlins in the standings. Okay? We're not worried about that. I'm talking about getting back to playing good baseball. And that's where you got to be. Tomorrow's game, which is another night game. By the way, we're going to bring almost every game to you down the stretch. I'm going to be in Boston next week, going to Fenway. It's a pilgrimage I've never been. So I'm looking forward to that, and I look forward to sharing my experience with that. But after I get back from that trip, I mean, we're putting the hammer down on covering the Braves games. It's going to be very few games that we aren't here for. Tomorrow's game, Ryne Nelson versus Charlie Morton. We've got the advantage there. Nelson, he's okay. He pitches a little better on the road, by the way. So that's the only thing you're worried about. He's okay, but 5-5 with a 4.98 ERA, he's nothing that's going to blow you away. So to win this series, the Braves really need to be focused on games 1 and 2. Game 3 is going to be a struggle. We're going up against Zach Gallen, who pitched well the last time we saw him. And he actually happened to pitch against Spencer Strider. We won that game, but we didn't score many runs while he was in. It's also the terrible day game, midweek day game that we talk about all the time here on Braves Country. So that's a problem. That's a huge problem. We're going to be playing a day game. It is Spencer Strider Day. So you like that? You like that? But we're talking whatever the over-under is that day, bang the under. That's going to be a low-scoring affair. So that's what we're looking at in this series is game three. I'm not saying we're going to lose it per se, but it's the biggest toss-up. It's the game that the Diamondbacks have the best chance of winning by far. Zach Gallen is our stopper. I mean, if Zach Gallen was an elite, would he have started for the National League in the All-Star game? He was the first pitcher we saw. So it should be a fun showdown, and we will have that game here, by the way. I'm going to be rushing home from my day gig, but we're going to bring that to you 12:20 first pitch, and we'll stay on afterwards here on Braves Country HD and WQEE to give you the post game show. But it should be a really good game. But in those types of situations, bounce here, bounce there, big hit there, big hit there. You never know what's going to call. So my point is, let's go out of here and crush it in the game one and in the game two. Let's not wait around, split the first two, and then you're to win the series. It's Zach Gallen day. I want no part of that. I want to be going for a series sweep on Thursday. And if you fall short, you fall short, but you give it your best effort. Eddie Rosario still is not in the lineup. So what does that mean? It means they're going to play this out, and he could be headed to the IL. I still contend it's one of those ghost ILs. I still contend that. We watched the game. He didn't pull up lame at any point. He was benched. They can say what they want, but he was benched for bad defense. Now, for some reason, they had no problem with calling out Marcell Ozuna because he didn't hustle. And maybe that's the difference. But they're coming up with these ghost ILs. And so how many times, it's not just Braves, how many times we've seen this year, hamstring tightness and shoulder inflammation. What the hell is shoulder inflammation? What? If you're pitching, of course your shoulder's going to be inflamed. You got blown up. Let's be honest. Let's be honest what really happened there. Good Lord. But when you look at this series and you look at what we've got in front of us, tonight's a huge game. Because Zach Davies, look, he has been around in the league for a while and he's stuck around for a reason. He does know how to pitch. He's never blown anybody away. You're going to see a guy coming in with the low 90s fastball, if he's lucky. He's going to try to keep you off balance with soft stuff. And I want to pull up his game log real quick to give you an idea of what he's done recently. Now, this was at home. He 5 1/3 against the Pirates, gave up 3 runs. At home, 5 2/3. Against the Mets, gave up 4 earned runs. It's not great, but it's not absolutely awful. But at the same token, those are not necessarily elite offenses. Here's the one that makes you go, wow. They lost the game, but he went 7 scoreless against the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, that was in the middle of the Tampa Bay Rays scuffle. And I believe, I'm almost positive because I think I listened to this game. I think that was the game that I listened to on Tampa Bay radio as I was getting ready for the Braves broadcast that day. I believe this was an early game. So the Rays might have had some of that old Atlanta magic where they don't hit during the daytime. The game before that at San Francisco, very light hitting squad. 4 innings, 6 earned. The game before that, at home against Cleveland. 3 2/3, 8 earned runs. Those are two really light-hitting offenses. At home against Philly, which we all know is a very good offense, 3 and gave up 4. And then, strangely enough, at Washington, well, I guess that one's not strange. He went 6 2/3, gave up 2. But, oh, I'm sorry. At first, I thought the Colorado game was in Colorado, but it's not. It was at home. So, against Colorado, he pitched well. But I throw those two out the window because those are two bad offenses. I'm not going to go any further back to that. You go any further back than that, you're really grasping at straws. But what it shows me is that the Tampa Bay game's the outlier. If you look at what really makes sense, Philly, Cleveland, San Fran, even the Mets and Pittsburgh game, which were okay, but they weren't great, but it was against bad offenses, they get pounded. He gets pounded. So the Braves ought to put some runs up on the board, and in a big way. I'd be shocked if they do not. If you're looking for a good bet tonight, Braves first 5 innings, that should be money. I want to say it's around the minus 180 marks, somewhere in that area last time I saw it, but that should be money. I would think the Braves are going to win, but I would be shocked if Zach Davies outpitched Bryce Elder. And Davies, by the way, is now 30 years old. And like I say, he's a journeyman. He's been here and there. With the Brewers. He was with the San Diego Padres at one point. In fact, I know he was. I want to say that was 2 years ago. But he's just a guy that's not going to go out. And I didn't mention this much, but there's only been a few games where he's put up what you would consider crooked numbers in the strikeout department. So he doesn't strike out a lot of guys, and the Braves don't strike out a lot. For a team that hits as well as they do and mashes as hard as they do, the Atlanta Braves do a really good job of not striking out a whole lot. That was not the case a few years ago. That was an awful time to be a Braves fan, because not only would we lose, we struck out left and right. There's nothing worse than watching an offense that just strikes out. It's just boring as hell. And I'm talking about going back all the way to the Ugla and Upton days. Handful of years ago when we were striking out a lot, but we were building, we were young, it didn't bother you as much because you were excited to see the development of an Acuna, Ozzie Albies, et cetera, Austin Riley. That didn't bother you as much. I'm talking about when we had those veterans in our lineup about 10 years ago. It's hard to believe it's been that long ago. I guess it's been a little, I want to say we did the big transformation in 2015, so a little less than that. But remember, Ugla would strike out, Upton, they're all striking out left and right. Freddie was the only guy that wasn't striking out, and that had a lot to do with why everyone's like, ugh. Freddie became everyone's favorite folk hero because he wouldn't strike out. This Braves seems much different. They've got pop, and they don't necessarily shorten up, but they do change their approach with two strikes, which you love to see. And I've seen it more in the back half of this stretch of the season than I did the front half. So that just tells you it became – I've seen a couple articles on it, but the short of it is it became a priority. They had a few meetings about it, not some dramatic closed-door meeting where they're punching chalkboards. Enough is enough! We're only in first place. No, they weren't doing anything like that. But they were basically saying, if we want to take this to the next level, if we want to be a team that's going to be late in October, punching our ticket is no longer the goal. Punching your ticket to get to October, that's a New York Met goal. Our goal, that's a Miami Marlins goal. Our goal right now is to go late into October. I've said this a few times over the last couple of weeks. To me, this point in the season, what we have seen now, it's World Series or bust. Meaning, we better win the pennant If we don't at least win the pennant, we're going to be disappointed. If this team doesn't win the World Series, we're all going to be disappointed. But you could live with it. But if this team goes out and tears up the regular season again and then fizzles out in the first round that they play in, I know technically we got to the second round because we had the bye. But fizzles out in the first round, that's no longer acceptable. This team is much more talented than the team that we had in 2021. But they had the gritty, timely hitting from some veterans that stepped up in a big way, and it almost became contagious. It's like wildfire. This team, if it wins the World Series, is not going to be talked about. Man, did that team get hot? Man, was that team fun to watch? This team we'll be talking about as an all-time team. Not just in the Atlanta Braves lore, but this Atlanta Braves team is an all-time Major League Baseball team if things continue to go as they are. Now, obviously, we've got to get Max Fried back, because you can't talk about an all-time team if you don't have your ace. But this team, they continue to win on the pace that they're winning on. I know they're on pace for like 108 wins. But realistically, it's much higher than that because we started off okay to start the season and then took off like a bat out of hell and have been playing that way ever since. You put this weekend away. Remember how ticked off we were when we lost the three-game series to Oakland? Remember how long ago that was? That was the last time we lost a series. 11 series in a row. That is the kind of stuff that can start building on all-time teams. If this team, that's what's at stake to me. As a Braves fan, someone who's been following the Braves, been a Braves fan. Good Lord, I don't even like to admit how long it's been. But let's put it this way. ESPN Network was a baby when I first started watching Atlanta Braves baseball. When I first started watching Atlanta Braves baseball, it's been so long ago, cable television, all that kind of stuff, that was new to everybody. I started watching Atlanta Braves in 81-ish, but really 82 was the year that I really caught on and started understanding it because I was a little too young in 81 to really. I watched games, but I didn't really know what the hell was going on. I'd watch it in an inning or two, and I'd run outside and play wiffle ball and, you know, run into a pole or something. But this Braves team, I'm not talking about just Atlanta Braves history. I'm talking about this is one of the best baseball teams I have ever seen. I wasn't alive in 1927, the 27 Yankees, despite the rumors you might have heard. I was not alive back then. And this team rivals all of the championship teams. And if we can win another one, it cements the legacy of some of the guys that were on that first run. It's a little different because that team in 2021 was really led by Ian Anderson, Freddie Freeman, Jorge Soler, Dansby Swanson, Jock Peterson. None of those guys are on the team. Will Smith, Luke Jackson. There's only the core the Braves have essentially kept together. Remember, Acuna wasn't even healthy. So this Braves team, I look at it as they are looking to win their first championship. Obviously, it's not the Braves' first championship. The Braves have won 4 World Series in their entire history, right? They've been 16-time world champions. They won 12 champ. We've talked about this before, and we'll probably go in depth on one of our Once Upon a Pastime series. But they won 12 championships, 12 world championships before the World Series existed. They've won 22 pennants. So what we're talking about here is, even if you want to take other franchises out of the mix, this could be the best Atlanta Braves. This could be the best Braves franchise. Talking about Boston, talking about Milwaukee, talking about the Bean Eaters, the Boston Bees, the Doves. This could be the greatest of them all. Maybe not the greatest story. They still talk about the 1914 Miracle Braves. I have one of those phony rings in my office. I got a phony ring for every one of their World Series championships. 57 in Milwaukee, 14 in Boston. They, as far as I know, they don't make the because rings weren't a thing before the World Series came around. Actually, pennants weren't a thing before the World Series came around. The pennant, little known fact, was created by the Boston Red Sox when they beat Pittsburgh. Well, it wasn't created, but it was popularized because when they beat them, they raised the pennant. They beat the Pittsburgh, what were they called? They might have been the Pirates, but I think Boston was called the Pilgrims at that point. But they raised the pennant over their field, and it became a thing. That's how the term became, we won the pennant, we won the pennant. But this could be an all-time Braves team, but to do that, you've got to go in to the postseason hitting on all cylinders. And also, I'm greedy. I want as many wins as possible because I want to see this Atlanta Braves team down the road. Let's say we win the championship. Let's say we do this. I want to be able to argue with someone 5 years from now and go, you know what the hell you're talking about? The 2023 Braves team was it. And if this team doesn't win the World Series, I expect Morgan Wallen to make a redo on his soundtrack. Better be talking about the 23 Braves. Because good Lord Almighty, this is a team that should go all the way. My pick to click tonight will go with, hell, I time to think about this, and I think I'm going to go an oldie but goodie. I haven't picked him in a while. Give me Austin Riley, a soft tossing right-hander. I think he's going to get some pitches to hit because I think he's going to not want to face Olsen. Give me Austin Riley to finally click, man. We got to get him going. We get Austin Riley doing Austin Riley type things. Look out. He's still having an okay year. We're just so used to, Austin Riley should have won an MVP by now. That won't get into that one, but 2021, Austin Riley was the National League MVP. I don't care what you say. So pick to click will be Austin Riley, and I'm going to call this Braves win it, and I don't think it'll be a laugher, but I think they'll win pretty convincingly. Give me the Braves to hang 9 on the board, and we'll probably get some scrubs in their pitching later on. So give me 9-4. 9-4 when we hit the over. Okay, let's take a really quick break. We come back and talk a little bit more about what's going on in the world of baseball. And Joey's on the way. We're going to talk a little more about a lot of things, including the Monsters of the Midway. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country. Keep it locked in here. 99.1 FM WQEE and Braves Country HD on YouTube. We go live 3-5. Braves Country today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3-5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country today. Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country today. We go live 3-5 weekdays right here on WQEE. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, the key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country.
Armchair.
You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterbacks Sports Flash. The Atlanta Braves, who begin a three-game set against the Arizona Cardinals, placed Colby Allard on the IL. Colby Allard placed on the 60-day IL, backdated to July 17th. Forrest Wall, outfielder, was selected and will come up with the team today. Atlanta Braves begin their series tonight, 7:20 Eastern. We'll have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play, right here on Braves Country HD. Jump on YouTube, subscribe, and like today. Braves will be sending Bryce Elder, who's 7-2 with a 2.97 to the bump. He'll be going head-to-head with Arizona's Zach Davies. He's 1-5 and a 6.37 ERA. Braves are minus 190 on the money line. Over-under is 10.5. Other games in the National League East. Phillies host the Brewers. Julio Teheran versus Aaron Nola. Over-under 9.5. Philly minus 210. That's the money line. Mets at home against the White Sox. Lucas Giolito versus Cookie Carrasco. New York is minus 120, over under 8.5. The Marlins continue their series after dropping game one in St. Louis. They'll send Cabrera to the mound to face Jordan Montgomery. St. Louis minus 155 on the money line, over under is 8. And the Nats are at the Cubs. Patrick Corbin versus Jameson Taillon. Chicago minus 165, over under is 9. Other games around the league, the big one, the Dodgers are at the Orioles. Michael Grove versus Tyler Wells. Baltimore minus 125, over under 9.5. Guardians are at the Pirates. Cleveland brought up Logan Allen one more time. He'll face Mitch Keller. The over-under's 8.5. Padres at the Blue Jays. Joe Musgrove versus Alek Manoah. Manoah, who pitched well his first time back off the IL, has not had good numbers at home. Joe Musgrove has been one of the better pitchers in all of Major League Baseball for the last month or so. Padres coming off dropping 3-4 in Philadelphia. Giants are at the Reds, 7:10 Eastern. Disco Stick versus Weaver. Over-under is 11. That number may not be high enough. San Fran minus 135. They'll also conclude last night's game that was tied in the eighth when rain suspended action. Giants and Reds tied 2-2. That game will resume at 5:40 Eastern this evening. That game is in the eighth inning, and the Giants have runners on second and third with one out. Rays are at the Rangers, 8:05. Taj Bradley versus Nathan Eovaldi. Texas minus 135. Over under is 9. The Astros are at the Rockies, 8:40 first pitch, while the Yankees travel to Los Angeles to take on the Angels. Domingo Herman versus Patrick Sandoval. Red Sox and A's, Medina on the bump for Oakland, and the Twins are at the Mariners in what should be a good pitcher's duel. Bailey Ober comes in with a 2.61 ERA versus Wu and his 1-1 record, 3.63 ERA. Over-under 7.5, Seattle minus 130 on the money line. Armchair Quarterback minicamp heads to Chicago this afternoon. We'll take a look at the Bears. Here are the highlights of the 2023 season for the Monsters of the Midway. It all starts September 10th, 4:25 Eastern on Fox as the Bears host the Packers. The Jordan Love era begins. Justin Fields in just his second year. Bears are at the Bucks September 17th, 1:00 Eastern on Fox, and they travel to the Chiefs in week 3, 4:25. Week 6 at home versus Minnesota, 1:00 kickoff on Fox. And Sunday night football in Week 8, Chicago at the Chargers. Could be a big game in Week 11 as the Bears are in Detroit, 1:00 on Fox. Monday night football, ESPN at Minnesota in Week 12. And they'll finish it up at home against your Atlanta Falcons, 1:00 Week 17 CBS. In Week 18, they're at Green Bay. That time is yet to be determined. Preseason has the Bears playing the Titans, the Colts, and the Bills. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com at Braves Country.
Well, the season's finally here.
The Armchair Quarterbacks are back. Saturdays this fall, talking college football, SEC, ACC, Big Ten, the NFL, fantasy football advice, and our picks against the spread. It all begins September 9th, right here on Braves Country HD and 99.1 FM WQEE.
Yeah, the Armchair Quarterback, the All-American.
Here's good news. There's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every five purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
Shouldn't you be at work by now?
Work? It's raining. I called in sick. I don't work in the rain.
You don't work in the rain. You're a mailman. Neither rain nor sleet. It's the first one!
How are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing good. You know, it's crazy that we're already 2 weeks away only from the MLB trade deadline, but this is a big time for MLB teams right now. Before training camp kicks off, I'm really focusing on baseball these next 2 weeks to see who's a buyer and who's a seller.
You got to figure what, at this point, are you thinking that the Cubs are selling?
I do think so. And honestly, guys like, you know, Bellinger and Stroman, who you either could have re-signed for a while and took that chance or trade them. I think at this point with how the Cubs are playing, those guys, two of those names could be really gone. A few relieving names as well, like Fulmer and others. But two of the top ones, Stroman and Bellinger, could be shipped off by August
1st. I wanted to ask you about that because I saw an article, and I was talking about this on yesterday's show, but I have my doubts that they would part with him. But the rumor coming out of, man, I want to say it was MLB.com, but I can't remember who the writer was. Anyways, not important at this point, that Julian Merriweather could be traded. But doesn't he have – okay, so from my understanding, he's got control for the next couple of seasons, right?
Yep.
I would think that's someone that they would be building around, building their bullpen around, or do you think that they would be okay with, if they thought they needed a different piece, trade him for someone they could develop? Like, where's your sense on that as a Cubs fan?
Yeah, I mean – there's no doubt he wouldn't be someone I mind keeping. He's having a good year, 3.60 ERA roughly. But at 31 years old, you know, if there's teams that are going to need plenty of bullpen help or extra help. It's not even about just, you know, general if you need it. You always need more. It's always a good thing to have. I feel like if you can get the right deal, I wouldn't be overly upset about it. Now, let's say we just trade him, though, and nothing else happens. That'd be a little concerning to me. But he would definitely work well in somebody in the middle of their bullpen who's contending. And if we get something decent back, I'm actually for it. If we're going to sell, let's try to sell as much as we can, because at the end of the day, this Cubs team does not have a star player. I'm not saying you'd get a star player in return, but we're in search for many more prospects to build this thing.
Well,
and maybe it's
I'm talking about someone that you could develop, like, I'm not even saying a star, because I don't know if Merriweather would bring a star back. But
no.
But maybe a piece that could help out down the road. Maybe someone who could, I don't even know if you're talking about starting pitcher, but maybe a younger pitcher that you could develop into the bullpen over the next few years, whereas Merriweather's ready to roll with that bullpen piece. I'm just kind of curious, because when I saw that, I was like, oh, man, he's good. Then I looked at his contract. I was like, he's still under control for like two more years after this one. Like, is that even where? Because I feel like the Cubs are trying to, because in that division, let's be fair, in that division, I don't think they're going to win it this year, but it's kind of wide open.
Oh, it's definitely wide open. And if the Cubs are set up mostly, what they want to do is for 24 and seasons 25. They're coming into this year, their projected over-under was like high 70s. In the NL Central, though, you can make that jump. And if we make the right moves this offseason, the next 2 years are big. So I could see why in your head you're like, wait a minute, why would they get rid of this guy if he's under contract for a couple more seasons especially? But maybe the Cubs are finding out, unfortunately, that they might not be as – they're not far, far away, but they're not as close as they think. So maybe they're in their head, if the more young people they can get, that's what they're going to start doing.
By the way, I need more information on this. I see Robert saying that he got kicked out of – kicked out for trying to go to the store. Robert's in Daytona. And I'm trying to figure out where he got kicked out of what? What did he get kicked out of? His room? Because if you got kicked out, he got kicked for trying to go to the store? I'm hoping Robert's still listening, because I'd like to get some clarification. Because there's a lot of scenarios going through my head as far as what that means. I got kicked out because I went to the store. Was that a wife? Was that a girlfriend? Was it his parents?
What were you trying to buy?
Yeah, like, exactly. What were you trying to buy? Why was it such a big deal? Also, what time did you try to go to the store? Are you piled up there with your wife or girlfriend or whatever, and you said, I went to the store, but it's 3 in the morning, right?
Oopsie.
And you come back at 6. whoa. Been there, done that.
Get us back, Robert.
Yeah. Anyways, interesting story. Looking at who are the sellers, I think we got kind of a good picture at this point. Now, I'm going to give you 5 teams that it's put up or shut up for the next 2 weeks, or they're going to be sellers. Right now, they're not buyers, but they're not exactly sellers, right? It's put up or shut up time.
Amen.
Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees. Red Sox are a game and a half out of the last wild card. New York is 2.5 out of the last wild card. Even though they've got the number 3 slot, they haven't been playing well. Give me the Miami Marlins. Philadelphia is a half game back. They are hot on their heels. And if they don't play well in the next 2 weeks, they're not going to be buyers. I don't know if they'll be sellers, but they're not going to be not anything of interest. If they spit the bit and they wake up July 31st, and they're 3-4 games out of the wild card, bye-bye season. Because that front office isn't going to tear down everything that they've gotten just to make a run. They might bring in something that they might think help a little bit, but it's nothing that's going to move the needle.
Right.
And if I had one more team, because right now the Mets are sellers. Right now the San Diego Padres are sellers. The other team, they're kind of in that same mindset, because they're a younger team that came out of nowhere, but now they're starting to spit the bit. Cincinnati Reds, they are now 2 games out of the wild card. They have they've lost four of their last five.
Yeah, and you know, a team like the Reds, you know, they have so much good young talent still on the way and just starting in the majors. I would just kind of keep that team intact and just kind of move on past the deadline one way or another. Maybe add something small, maybe get rid of something small veteran-wise, but don't do anything big. Now, to me, if your team, like you said, when you talked about the Mets and the Padres, we talked about this last week. Well, guess what? The Padres, since we talked about them a week ago, us two together at least, they lost three in a row right now. The Mets, yeah, they won one game yesterday, but they're seven games under 500. And on top of that, in each division, they're fourth. It's going to be so hard between that and the wild card to get anywhere. I think that if you're the Mets and the Padres, you just got to look at it in reality and go, look, we got a lot of money on the books with an under 500 record. We're going to make some changes, and maybe that's some names people don't like, but there's some names that people would want out there and give you some good prospects.
The Mets are going to be sellers. The Mets,
they have to be.
Man, it's over. They would have to. The only one that keeps them off the books of selling is literally like a 10-game winning streak.
And that ain't.
And even then, you still might be five games out of the wild card. And you still have to leapfrog all those teams. So I don't see any way, shape, or how that the Mets aren't sellers. The problem is, so I was listening to some, I guess it was yesterday. I don't think I listened to it all today, but yesterday, listening to, I'm going to have to start calling it something like Goofy Thoughts from the Big Apple, because some of these radio shows in New York, they really don't have a clue about the game of baseball, which is dumbfounding because it's a baseball town. But one of their most popular station, their most popular show on that station, their morning show, they don't have one single person that is there regularly that knows a damn thing about baseball. And this is the home of baseball. This is Yankee and Mets Haven. All the guys on that show are Mets fans, right? The only guy that ever has a clue, they have this one guy that fills in as like a scoreboard host. And when I see him, I'll actually stop what I'm doing and go, what's this guy got to say? Because he's a Yankee fan, and he's a logical Yankee fan, and he knows what the hell he's talking about. The rest of it, like, they're all just sitting there. I mean, it is literally the bottom of the barrel sports knowledge. They're waiting for the NFL to kick off so they can complain about a controversial call on Sunday. Like, that's it. But they were, I'm telling you, it was like a week ago, they were trying to convince people that the Mets, as long as they won the next series, tomorrow win two of three after you've had a disaster of a season, that they would be buyers and who they could buy. So now on Monday, because they spit the bit and got their butts kicked by the Dodgers, they're fortunate they can get swept. They're talking about who they could trade and what they could trade for, and everything is unrealistic that they're bringing up. It is unbelievable. I mean, they're talking about trying to trade away Scherzer and Verlander and getting good returns.
Yeah, if they don't have to eat all that money, that's the problem, right?
but you're not going to get that.
Exactly.
If you eat all the money, you might get a decent return. If you eat a little bit of the money, you're going to get a small return. If you don't eat any of the money, which is where their head was, that, oh, we'll just get them off the books, so we don't care what we get. Nobody wants to pay these aging dudes. That's why they ended up in a Mets uniform to begin with.
Somebody who would want to get paid, what do you think the chances are Otani could sell that this deadline?
Minimal. But if they go on a horrendous losing streak, they might deal him for something less than what we would expect. Because remember, it's still just a two-month rental.
Right.
But I was hoping I was going to get correct.
You are correct. The only point I was going to add to that is, you know, correct. You're only getting him for 2 months, but, you know, some of these things I've heard, hey, maybe if you get him in there for 2 months, maybe that helps trying to convince him into that bigger contract. I don't think he would fall for that, but some of these teams here, man, it'd be for sure interesting. I know the GM said today they wouldn't, or the owner said they wouldn't trade him over to the Dodgers. I'm like, if the Dodgers are willing to give you the best deal, why the heck not? They're not in your, you know, I get it. It's LA. But to me, it's so stupid when teams say they won't trade with a in-state rival LA.
Well,
LA like,
it's more of the fact that they know that they're going to be going at them heavy for the on during the offseason, and they don't want them to be able to get him in-house to butter him up and say, look how much better it is. You don't even have to move, and you can be a Dodger, which is honestly what they're going to tell him in the offseason. So I don't think he'll get traded to the Dodgers. You know what? Let's put a pin in that thought for 1 second. We're going to take a quick break.
Let's do it.
I'm going to give you three teams that I think are actually realistic landing spots for Ohtani this trading season. Because he's going to be a Dodger in November. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country. Keep it locked in here on WQEE and Braves Country HD.
Bro, Blake, play for the love of the game, man. What's wrong with you, bro? Money should not be a thing.
Bro, I'm risking my life. What do you mean it should not be a thing? It 100% should be a thing. And if I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona, guess what happens with that? The damage that was done to my body, that's going to be there forever. No, I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine. More Twitch streams for us, that's facts.
Armchair.
Dixie Handle Company, five generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball.
Well, the season's finally here, and the players hit
the armchair quarterbacks are back. Saturday, September 9th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., you'll be tailgating with the armchair quarterbacks. Mac McGee, Brian Snow, Joey Antones, and the rest of the armchair quarterbacks live, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturdays this fall, talking college football, SEC, ACC, Big Ten, the NFL, fantasy football advice, and our picks against the spread. It all begins September 9th, right here on Braves Country HD and 99.1 FM WQEE.
I only drink alcohol on days that start with a T, so that's Tuesday, Thursday, today, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday.
Welcome back, Braves Country. All right, so we're talking about Ohtani. Where he could realistically. So the thing I want to do first, I want to eliminate, because teams, I just don't think they'll trade him to, because they're real contenders to sign him in the offseason, and they don't want to give him a puncher's chance, right? So I'm going to throw San Francisco and LA out the window, the Dodgers and Giants. They're not going to do it. They don't want to send him anywhere that he'll go, yeah, I like this. Let's get it. But a team that might go for it, though they would have no chance of re-signing him. Number one with the bullet, give me the Baltimore Orioles. Baltimore Orioles have a good farm system. Shohei Ohtani to the Baltimore Orioles is a game changer. And they don't have the cash to re-sign him. I'm talking about who they would trade him to. I'm not necessarily saying this team's going to make the move, right? But the Baltimore Orioles is a landing spot because it's been well documented he wants to live on the West Coast. So if he's in Baltimore, you don't have to worry. Plus, have you ever been to Baltimore?
Joe? No, I have not. I have.
Oh, well, I'll put it this way. You're in no shape or form, or do you have to worry about Baltimore wooing someone and saying, oh, this is a great place to live. Baltimore is a right. Just watch the first season of The Wire and you'll get an idea what Baltimore is. The other team that I think makes a lot of sense, the Toronto Blue Jays. Toronto has also been known to sell their soul to try to win now. And one more team, a guy that does not care about his farm system, never has, never will, and doesn't give a damn if they can't re-sign him. They just want to try to make a splash for this year. Give me Dave Dombrowski and his Philadelphia Phillies. And those to me are the three top candidates because they're West Coast team. I mean, sorry, East Coast teams. The three major players to sign Ohtani in the offseason is obviously the Angels stay where he's at. And I'm sorry, but for baseball, I hope it's not the case.
I agree.
It's a stale franchise that can never get their head out of their ass. And you know what? Maybe they would actually be good, fun, and exciting if they didn't have $1.5 billion locked up between three guys, if you count Rendon.
It's pretty sad that they have had two of the best players of all time and never had it amount to anything.
Yeah, so. But that to me, Philly's a real contender. They don't have much in their farm system, but then again, they got a few pieces. And I could see Dombrowski with having the mentality that he has. He would think he could re-sign him, but he wouldn't give a damn if he did. I mean, he's famously trashed every single farm system he's ever touched. Ask Detroit Tiger and Boston Red Sox fans. Boston still has not recovered from what he did to them. He won him a championship, though. But tune in,
yeah, and look,
but tune in on Wednesdays and see if the Sarge gives a damn about that. It was 5 years ago. He's like, oh, Kerr! At the time, he loved it. And so, I see the question. We will be doing play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch here, Braves Country Baseball. So, Atlanta Braves, they're not making the trade for Ohtani. I'm just telling you, they're not. That's not happening. Anthopoulos is not gutting his farm system to bring in a guy for 2 months, which is what it would be. And because you're so good, they're going to want a hell of a lot. It's kind of unfair. But when you are a really good team and you have really good pieces, a team is less likely to make a trade with you because they are going to ask for a ridiculous return. Whereas a team like, let's just say, for instance, if Minnesota decided we're going to go for it, we're going to go get Ohtani, they won't ask for the same prospects, same caliber of players that the Braves have.
Well, that's what I was going to say because I liked your list. The team I was going to throw in there is Milwaukee for a couple of reasons. Number one, there's no chance he'd ever re-sign there. And number two, hey, Milwaukee's going to probably win the Central, so you could get a two-month rental and maybe you spark fire there. But I don't know if they have the prospects, Milwaukee, but I would add that it is maybe a team that, you know, yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't try.
I don't hate the Milwaukee idea. The only thing I can tell you is that from their history of their front office for the last several years, they don't typically make big moves like that.
No, the only one I could actually remember was CC Sabathia in the mid 2000s.
That's when Selig still had his hand in it.
That's what I'm saying. And how long ago was that? That was probably 15 years ago.
Yeah. And he was, I mean, I'll tell you what, that run that he did with Milwaukee down the stretch that back half, that made me a CC. I didn't have an opinion on CC, let's put it that way. But after that stretch run, and I know he went on to sign with the Yankees and everybody hates the Yankees, whatever, I became a CC Sabathia fan that summer.
I'll tell you what, I remember specific games because the Cubs and the Brewers were actually the two teams battling. And we had a four-game series against them, and he pitched game one and game four. He started both of those. He was starting like every third or fourth day. He wasn't waiting the full day's rest. That guy had an unbelievable second half in that season. But anyways, just incredible.
Yeah, I remember two. I want to say it was three, but I remember two specific times in that crunch. And he's about to be a free agent. CC Sabathia pitched on 3 days rest because the Brewers were trying to get in the playoffs. And pitched well. It isn't like he just went in there and pitched like three innings. No one would even dream of doing that today.
Heck no, and it didn't even pay off for him because the Cubs ended up winning the division. So it kind of double screwed him there.
But didn't they make the playoffs? Did they make the wild card?
They might have gotten the wild card. I just know they didn't win the Central.
Okay. I'm pretty sure that they made the wild card. But regardless, it paid off for him because he ended up getting a lucrative contract from the Yankees, and that might have had something to do with it.
Absolutely.
Nowadays, they'd be like, oh, you got too many pitches in your arm over the last 6 months. See, let me pull up the analytics and show you what, you know, whatever.
Well, crap. If you play 2 years as running back in the NFL, they never want to pay you again after that franchise tag thing. With all these running backs, it looks like they're going to start a little. I saw what Derrick Henry had to say, Jonathan Taylor. I mean, a lot of running backs stepped out over the past 24 hours with comments of not being too happy.
So, yeah, that's my list. Like I said, I don't hate the Milwaukee. It's not in their DNA to make that move. It'd be
not realistic.
Be a fun, yeah. And also, is Milwaukee a Shohei Ohtani away from getting to the World Series?
I don't think so.
I don't think they are either. Philadelphia could be. Baltimore could be. Baltimore's a fun team to watch. I watched that kid Grayson Rodriguez pitch last night. Did you catch any of that game?
Yeah, I think was that game on MLB Network? Because I watched it.
I have no idea. I watch everything off of the.
I watched a few innings of that game. Yes, I did.
Dude, he has got some stuff. The kid was pitching for the Dodgers wasn't bad, Sheehan, but you could tell that he's very raw. I still think he's a guy that if he pitches in meaningful innings this year, he's going to be in the bullpen.
Right.
And once again, I'm like, where do all these teams get these pitchers who could throw 100 miles an hour plus with just like letting it go? Meanwhile, back at the ranch, we got Colby Allard up there throwing freaking balloons up to the plate. I'm like, what the hell, man? How do we not have any of these guys that can just bring it?
Because you have everything else.
You know something I saw today that I did not realize? I must have missed the transactions over this time period. The Braves have picked up Justice Sheffield. He's in there. I think he's pitching for Triple A Gwinnett today. It was either Triple A or I don't know if you remember Justice Sheffield, but he was a big prospect for Seattle a few years back. I want to say he was the number one pick overall at one point, but anyways, they were huge on him. He came up. He was a disaster. Could never get anybody out, essentially. And the Braves have him. Man, if anybody can turn some Justice Sheffield around, Hotlanta GA.
Yeah, he was drafted in the first round in 2014.
Do you have what pick it was?
Pick 31.
Oh, well, I thought it was higher. I guess it was just the fact that at one point he was the number one prospect in baseball.
Probably.
What year did you say?
Well, originally 2014 by the Cleveland Indians.
Okay, 2014.
Yep.
But he got moved out to Seattle, right?
Yep, he went Cleveland, and then Yankees, and then Seattle, and then now Atlanta.
Right. he was a part of one of those trades where, because that was the big deal. Yankees fans were making a huge deal. I didn't realize he started at Cleveland, but huge deal
for Andrew Miller,
where people were freaking out that they let Justice Sheffield go.
Yep.
Another one of those prospects where people overvalue a prospect. It's getting worse nowadays than it used to be, because you have so much access to all these different players and their stats. So you think you know something, but you don't know anything, and none of us do. But anyways, they were making a huge deal about him. Oh, you can't trade Justice Sheffield. What are you doing? And then I remember his debut when he came up a few years back. And it was this big thing. It was all over the place. Then he just got bombed. Here we go again. I want to say, is he not like the son of Gary? Or maybe it's a nephew? I think he's related to him in some way. I could be wrong about that. But anyways, I thought it was interesting that he's in the Braves organization. All right. You want to do a quick little mini camp on those Chicago Bears.
The Bears.
And I got a clip of that somewhere. I should have thought about that. Oh, well, too late now. Here we go. All right, the Bears. I had one. I'm mad about that. I used to have the clip of the song that, must have deleted it. I don't know if you ever heard that old song is "Da Bears Still Suck." Da Bears Still Suck. Have you heard that one?
I have not.
It's pretty funny. I don't remember where I saw it, where I found it, but I had it for the longest time, but I don't see it on the board anymore. All right. Da Bears. What can we expect from your Chicago Bears?
Well, as Coach Ditka says, coaches coach and players play. Let me tell you, man. But with this team, you really got to, you know, it starts on the offense. Even though they have Matt Eberflus, a defensive coach, now entering year two, this team's clearly worried about offense. They traded for DJ Moore. The offensive line's pretty stable from last year. Signed Robert Tonyan to be their tight end number two. And a couple running backs shuffled in and out as well. So this team offensively looks to be set up pretty well as long as Justin Fields takes that next step. We all know running the football he can. This year, it's about how could he progress as a passer, and it's to be determined because there were some really good times last year, and there were some really erratic times. Now, where I'm a little bit worried is the defense. The monsters of the midway are not going to have your Brian Urlacher, Lance Briggs-led defense. You're not going to see many low-scoring games. Is if you look at their defensive line, it's either guys who treaded out from other places or young men they hope to step up. So I know they signed Tremont Edmonds, that was a good pickup, and T.J. Edwards at linebacker, but their defensive line is built with unknowns, and if you can't rush the passer, that's concerning. So a little bit of a mixed bag. I see the Bears being in a lot of high-scoring games this year. Even if Fields doesn't have the greatest arm, we all saw what he could do running. So I expect the Chicago Bears to be in a lot of high-scoring affairs.
So on paper, especially if you're looking at what everyone's expectations are, the passing game should be pretty fun. You got DJ Moore, you got Chase Claypool, you got Darnell Mooney, one of the most overdrafted fantasy football guys in the history of the planet.
Yeah.
Right? Like every year everyone thinks, we're going to get Darnell Mooney. And then he has like three good games, and that's about it. I was a little surprised what they did with the backfield, but I guess they really, really believe in Khalil Herbert. Dante Foreman, what is he doing? Like, this guy should be a starter in the NFL. He keeps signing with these teams where he's being projected as the backup. But you would think the offense is going to be pretty good.
Oh, definitely. I mean, last year, without a DJ Moore, without a Robert Tonyan, without a Chase Claypool for most of the season, and an offensive line that was still working to find its way, they created a lot of fun games. I mean, they had a really high-scoring good game with the Eagles, who we all know made it to the Super Bowl. They had a lot of competitive games with teams that made it deep in the playoffs. So if Fields can progress with this offensive system under Luke Getsy, their offensive coordinator, the Bears can be pretty successful because the NFC North is not as good as people think. I'm not going to sit here.
Exactly. The NFC North, look, as much as we make fun of our NFC South and AFC South, the NFC North isn't exactly world beaters. I honestly think this, if you look at the trajectory of this coming NFL year, there's a lot of bad teams in the National Football League.
And especially the NFC.
But just in general, it is very top heavy. It's almost turning into the NBA. Used to, one of the draws to the NFL to me was that you felt like any team had a chance, right? But the more and more that we get away from allowing teams to play defense and whatnot, if you don't have that elite quarterback and he's playing elite, you're really in trouble.
And I hate to agree with that, but you're 100% right. Let's take exactly what happened a few months ago in April really quick with this draft. First off, a guy like Anthony Richardson, who wasn't even a first-round projected, is getting drafted off attributes at pick 4 by my Indianapolis Colts. Boom or bust. A lot of teams are talking, hey, if we stink this year, we're in the Caleb Williams, Drake May, running.
No, you can't do that because you just drafted a quarterback the number 4 pick.
No, I'm not saying the Colts. I'm saying teams who stink.
I thought you were talking about, like, Colts message boards. I'm like, what? No.
No, I'm saying, like,
for the next 3 to 4 years, bare minimum.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, we're stuck with the hey, we win in. But a lot of people, like in the NBA draft, they always try to get the next best thing. A lot of people are trying to do that with the quarterback position. So I'm not saying you'll see teams tank, quote unquote, but you're going to have teams who kind of lowball their seasons to try to get that top quarterback, that next freak in the draft. Yeah, and I think that plays a factor.
I'm sure the Caleb Williams tanking is going to be real.
I do.
But this Bears team, they've got their quarterback for the foreseeable future. There was talk about possibly trading him. I still think they should have. But there was talk about possibly trading him. And I still love that idea of that three-team trade, man. At the time when it was swirling around, do you remember this one?
I remember.
You remember? We were going to take Justin Fields. We're going to put him in Baltimore. We're going to take Lamar Jackson, put him in Atlanta. And we're going to take Ritter and draft picks and send him to Chicago. I really would have liked to have seen all that. It would make it so much more fun. But where are you looking at? So the Bears, real quick, we won't go through every single game, but looking at some of their bigger games at Kansas City, tougher games, at Kansas City, home against Minnesota. I mean, they've got a pretty manageable schedule. No team in the National Football League is a pushover, but I don't see a lot of – so they are playing the AFC West, so they do have to go to the Chargers. But Chargers are going to have to do something for me to ever take them serious. That absolute collapse in Jacksonville in the playoffs last year, that changes your DNA for a few years.
It's hard to recover from that.
Until you do something much more than just make the playoffs, Chargers are going to be charging. So that means I'm not convinced, unlike the four-letter network's been trying to cram down your throat the last few weeks, that Denver's back, baby. They're back. This is the Sean Payton. They still got a dumpster fire behind center. So they're playing the AFC West. They are playing, it looks like they're going to play the AFC South. I mean, sorry, NFC South, it appears, that they're playing the whole division. And then because they didn't have a great record, they don't have a lot of difficult games out of division.
No, they really don't. And
thinks Detroit's going to walk away with this division, by the way.
Yeah, and in my opinion, the division winner, if it does end up being Detroit, will be at 10 wins. And that's why after doing this Bears schedule, I'd like them to come in second this year, second or third. They're not going to finish in the basement. Either Minnesota or Green Bay, to me, one of those teams will bottom out there. But I do think the Bears can get to about 8 or 9 wins and come in second place. I think this is a Chicago Bears team that, you know, for 4-13 record, you usually don't say a lot of good things, but the key was the quarterback position. Like you said, after this draft, they set in stone that Justin Fields is their guy. So they put the resources in. It's time to giddy up. And I think this team will spark some eyes and maybe be in the wild card. I don't think they win the North, but I think they can get to 9 wins.
Well, I don't think it's going to take a lot of wins to win the North. In other words, I think you got a better chance of winning the North than you do winning the division. Green Bay's going to suck. I'm sorry. Everyone's like, the Jordan Love era. They are going to just be terrible. Aaron Rodgers is the only thing that was keeping them afloat.
Oh, I agree on the Packers, but when you look at the NFC as a whole,
Minnesota did nothing to shore up that defense.
And they cut Dalvin Cook.
They won. It was either 11 or 12. They won, not played in. They won 11 one-score games. That's not happening. You know how every year they say that on average there's 7 teams that made the playoffs last year that it won't make it this year, and of course vice versa if that's the case? You can go ahead and put the Minnesota Vikings on that list. They're done. They have a terrible defense. They're not going to – exactly. They got rid of Cook, which not that he was MVP of the league, but still. I think they've got a puncher's chance of being right there at the end with them and Detroit as the two best teams in the division.
I'm with you on that, and let's be real. There's still a good amount of free agents out there. I won't be shocked if the Bears sign a Yannick Ngakoue or one of these D linemen that are still available, because we'll see what training camp and injuries. But the Bears, if they add a little bit on defense, I'm with you on with Detroit hanging in the top two. Make a couple more defensive moves. Maybe I got them winning the division. Maybe.
I'll tell you what. Don't sleep on the fact that the final game of the season is Chicago versus Green Bay. So the Lions have to play the Vikings. And if the Vikings have nothing to play for or whatever, they're still going to want to go out there and shine, right? That's a much more difficult task. I'm just saying, the final week of the season. Look at the final stretch of the Bears. They're in Cleveland, at home against Arizona, and I think an improved Atlanta team. But it lines up for if they can play well in those last three games, that last game in Green Bay. Once again, Green Bay's not good. What the hell has Green Bay done other than draft Jordan Love extremely too early in the draft in recent years?
Yeah, I mean, it starts with the quarterback position. If you look at it right now, you got Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields, and Jordan Love's easily last of those four.
I'll tell you what, I'll make a prediction here as well, too. A.J. Dillon or Aaron Jones, one of them gets dealt, assuming health, one of them gets dealt before the trade deadline. Because Green Bay is going to be like 0-5 to start out. They're going to be in the Caleb Williams sweepstakes. And I know for a fact that A.J. Dillon is a free agent at year's end. I'm not 100% sure about Jones. But regardless, you're going to want a clean house. Keep an eye on that little prize.
I'll tell you what, the NFC North would be crapping their pants, because if Caleb Williams got in that division after a decade of Favre, then a decade of Rodgers, that would just...
It'd be just like when everyone complained about, you went from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck neckbeard, you son of a... It'd be the same situation. Same situation. Except this would be even longer.
Yes, even longer.
But if I'm... The only thing is Caleb Williams, Southern Cal kid, is he going to be good in Green Bay, Wisconsin? Is he...
Hey, he gets to come to the Midwest a couple times this year with the new schedule, so we'll see a little bit here.
All I know is he's getting out of Southern Cal just in time before they jump into the Big Ten. Don't they start Big Ten in 24?
Exactly. I just remember he had a couple cold weather. Oh, but yes, it's certain.
By the way, we'll take a real quick break. I got something on that I heard about in the Southeastern Conference that's going down next year that is absurd. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country.
Well, the season's finally here, and the players hit
the armchair quarterbacks are back. Saturday, September 9th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., you'll be tailgating with the armchair quarterbacks. Mac McGee, Brian Snow, Joey Intones, and the rest of the armchair quarterbacks live 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturdays this fall. Talking college football, SEC, ACC, Big Ten, the NFL, fantasy football advice, and our picks against the spread. It all begins September 9th right here on Braves Country HD and 99.1 FM WQEE.
It's summertime, and that means the return of all the fun and excitement of Chattahooch baseball at historic Golden Park. Bring the whole family down for a night of fun. Tickets start as low as $10 with a discount for kids, seniors, and active military. Or celebrate a special night at the park with a group package or suite night. For game dates and more, visit GoHoots.com. That's GoHoots.com.
All right, we're back. SEC Media Days are taking place right now in Nashville. And it was announced by their commissioner, Sankey, that next year's SEC Media Days are going to be in Dallas. Because Texas and Oklahoma are coming into the Southeastern Conference, right? And it has caused a stir with the writers in the Southeastern Conference because they're looking at it as, I don't really have that big of an opinion on it, but I kind of get where they're coming from. They're looking at it as, you're coming into our conference. Why are we hosting the first media day in your building? Right? So they're going, and not to mention the fact this is leading into the SEC championship ending up in Jerry's World before too long.
Yep.
What's your take on that? I mean, should they have to cut their teeth before they get to host? I mean, I don't think the SEC Media Days are a big deal to begin with, but the writers do because they have to go, they have to travel.
It just seems that, you know, these days, Jerry World or all these newer places they always try to work their way into, and especially usually Jerry Jones and that, you know, that area gets their way. But I don't, like you said, I'm not going to be following it too much when it comes down to the media days, but these media people care. And at the end of the day, just stick to what you're doing until it's a full-on thing. I don't get why they got to just speed it up, honestly.
We have to know, by the way, since Brian's in the chat, if he's going to be a man or a mouse this year. is he actually going to show up for the fantasy football draft extravaganza that we have over here at Casa McGee? Because last year he bailed on everybody. He went and hid down south somewhere. He used his baby as an excuse. Can you believe that?
Unbelievable.
Such a typical hurricane type move, right?
Probably cleaning off his fake gold chain.
Yeah, exactly. Fake gold chain like your fake football team.
You're fake.
I actually had a buddy that was texting me about the SEC Media Days day or so ago, and all I did, I just hit the Z button as long as I could and then sent it to him. I'm like, dude, I do not pay attention to SEC Media Days. It's so damn boring because they talk about absolutely nothing. And if you really want to get all that content, man, just go on Twitter a few hours after all of the press conferences. When you're waking up in the morning or before you go to bed at night or whatever, and just go on Twitter and see if anything of note was said. But nothing's ever said. They usually try to get one little blurb from Nick Saban and run with it, and that's it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like it's mostly for coaches to piss each other off a little bit before the season
now,
starts.
What it's for, it's kind of a dying thing, but it's for the newspaper writers, the content writers, to have stuff to talk about, the ones that only write about one sport. So it's a lot like, I would almost say it's almost like spring training in baseball, but at least there's something actually going on. I don't think now that I think about it, they don't have, I guess college football is the only one that does this. They don't really have this in the NFL. They don't have media days. They don't have this in baseball. They don't have media days. You know why? Because the whole damn season is a media day, man. It's constantly something going on. So it's just a way for it's an older tradition that's eventually dying out, because now in today's technology, do you really need to all get together? I honestly think it's an excuse for a bunch of writers to get together and get schmammered and cheat on their spouses. I mean, let's be honest. So why are they so mad they're going to Texas? If you write for South Carolina, that's far enough away. What happens in Dallas will stay in Dallas, baby boy.
Dallas is huge. Watch out.
We want to know when we're going to get the brothers Areola to come down for one of these fantasy football extravaganzos.
We definitely talked about coming down to the area one time. We got to. We just have to. We got to meet in person at one.
We start talking about it right now. You need to make it happen next Labor Day weekend. Not the very next one, but a year from now, Labor Day weekend. We always have a big shandango, do the fantasy football, stuff like that. Y'all got a free place to stay. Mi casa, su casa. Let's make it happen.
I think we could actually make that happen a year from now. No joke. Because Labor Day, we usually leave pretty wide open for other drafts. So we could just punt those and put them online and show up to the McGee extravaganza.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like you're gonna have access to internet. So there's another draft going on. You can draft from here. Right?
Exactly.
But that's that. When we start focusing on that, because...
Let's make that a goal. Let's make that a goal right now.
All you got to do is find a way to get here to the house, and you're good.
Oh, you just give us the address. We'll buy plane tickets. Weekend,
so it's still warm outside. Dude, we got a pool. We got a lot of refrigerator room.
Well, hey, I can tell you right now, I'm pretty confident we can make this happen, because Tones and I have talked about it. We got to meet one day. We can't. I mean, we know we're great friends, but we got to be in person. We got it.
And I'm telling you, that's probably the best day to do, because come down and, you know, just have just a stupid debauchery of a weekend. I can't wait to drop this on my wife. I'll probably wait till next year, late August. Hey, by the way, we've got some house guests. What? No,
known them for years.
No, she'll probably be thrilled. She'll probably make plans to do something else herself. So, yeah, let's make it happen. What is your walk-off for the day?
Should I give you my fantasy players, my walk-off?
Yes, I'm so bad about that. What's your fantasy pick?
No, that works perfect. Jamal Charles, I'm going to do
Is he available?
Yes, he is.
I swear, I guess because I've read too much of this junk over the last several years. Every name I hear, I'm like, that guy's still available? I thought he was drafted. All right.
Well, I got three Chiefs and three Colts now, but I'll take Jamar Charles for 2013 and 2014.
Jamar Charles. Man, I'll tell you what. If you asked me when he played, I would have thought it was actually a little further back than that.
So did I, and he ended up in the league till 18. I was like, I mean, most of his damage was early, but.
Give me those years again.
2013 and 2014, back to back.
2013, 2014. All right. Real quick, what's your lock? What's your walk-off?
Walk-off is big 2 weeks, like I said, of baseball. And then my lock of the day, I'm going with the Orioles again. They're minus 125. I think they beat the Dodgers with Wells on the mound over Grove.
All right. My walk-off is we got a couple things going on here. You missed it earlier. Armchair Quarterback Show starts Saturday, September 9th. We'll keep you in the know for all that. And then we've got a morning show that'll start Mondays and Thursdays. We'll get the details out on that in the very near future. And my lock of the day is going to be Atlanta Braves on the run line. They should destroy Zach Davies. Come on! Come on!
75-mile-an-hour meatballer.
Keep it locked in here on WQEE. Brian Snow Show is on the way, and we'll keep it up here on Braves Country HD. First pitch at 7:20. See you then.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same back time, same back channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
September, something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember.